Please turn with me in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 15, the book of Proverbs chapter 15, verse 33, the very last verse of the chapter. Proverbs 15, verse 33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. And that's our subject this evening, humility before honor. And well, as you know, we have finished studying the book of Revelation. And I thought that before we begin a new series, which I intend to do in September because a number of people will be away, including myself and my wife. So it'd be best to begin a new series in September, but we've got two Bible studies this evening and next week to have opportunity to look at two doctrines or themes that perhaps we do not focus on very often. And the theme that the Lord has put upon my heart this evening to challenge myself just as much as anybody else here is the theme of humility. And this is our starting point. We'll be looking at various other scriptures, not too many, because with many of these themes in the Bible, well, there are so many things we could look at. And I spent probably more time trying to think of what to include and what I could leave out, because so many things could have been said concerning humility and pride, of course, which is the opposite of humility. But this is a good place to start. Before honor is humility. Humility comes first. If we are to be honored by the Lord, if we are to be blessed by the Lord as individuals and as a church, humility must come first. Before honor is humility. And we see this principle in other places in Scripture. It is repeated in this same book a number of times. You don't have to turn to these references, but in Proverbs 18 and verse 12, the same sentiments, the same words are repeated. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. And again in Proverbs 29 and verse 23, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Honor for those who are humble. And then, of course, we could go to the New Testament, James chapter 4 and verse 6, words that you will know very well. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. He honors the humble. And then in that same letter, James 4 verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. God lifts up, God honors those who humble themselves in the sight of the Lord. So humility, being humble, is essential, it's fundamental. Indeed, we cannot be Christians if we have not first humbled ourselves. We cannot have that honor, that great honor of being called the children of God, if we have not first humbled ourselves. The natural man, of course, is proud, haughty, as the book of Proverbs describes it. The unbelieving world, well, I don't need to explain this to you, is full of pride, characterized by pride, proud of their achievements, proud of their righteousness. The world thinks it is a good place without God. We don't need God to be good. We have our own righteousness. We can be good without God. We can be good on our own. That's pride. That's a very proud attitude. And the natural man, of course, is too proud to repent or to confess their sins. Why should I repent? Why should I grovel before God? I'm not going to do that. I'm not a sinner. I don't have to confess my sins. I haven't done anything wrong. That's the way of the world. That's what the world thinks. And that's pride. Somebody who is proud will never confess their sin and never repent before God. And so therefore, they will never be honored. They'll never be honored by God. They'll never be blessed by God. They'll never know the love of God, because before honor must come humility. Humility, humbled before the Lord. If we are to be saved, if we are to have that great and glorious eternal honor, well, first there must be humility, and then the Lord will lift us up. So if we are saved here this evening, this is what we did. We were humbled, and the Lord bestowed upon us that great honor of being the children of God. But once we are saved, of course, we must remain humble. We don't just tend to humble ourselves when we are saved and then grow proud. We must remain humble. We must keep ourselves from pride. Pride in a Christian, pride in a church is very damaging. And we must not underestimate the damage that pride can do. And many great Christians in time past have warned of pride. The great Puritan, Jonathan Edwards of the 18th century, he said this on the subject of pride: "Remember that pride is the worst viper that is in the heart, the greatest disturber of the soul's peace. It is the most difficult sin to root out, and it is the most hidden, secret, and dreadful of all lust. And it often creeps in, insensibly, into the midst of religion, and sometimes under the disguise of humility." So even in religion, even in churches, even in our lives as Christian people, pride, the worst viper that is in the heart. And well, we have a good example of what proud religion looks like in the New Testament. If you turn with me to the Gospel according to Luke, in the New Testament, Luke chapter 18, and that great parable of the Lord Jesus Christ, Luke chapter 18, there is a great contrast in this parable from verse 9 of one who is proud and one who is humble. And you know this parable very well. Luke 18, verse 9. "And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess.'" The Pharisee is so very proud of himself. But look at verse 13. "And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted.'" You see, it's the same thing. Before honor, before exaltation, you must be humble. "He that humbleth himself shall be exalted." And well, that man, that publican, he realized his personal unworthiness before God. That's what humility is, a great part of it, the fundamental aspect of it, your personal unworthiness before God. And so we have to examine ourselves this evening as we consider these things. How do we measure up? Which one are we most like? Are we like the Pharisee, or are we like the publican? Now, sometimes we can all be like the Pharisee. Sometimes we can get proud of our spiritual achievements or our religiosity. Perhaps the Lord has used us, and the Lord has used many of us in this church, used you to do great things, and your labors have been greatly blessed, and that's a good thing, of course. But what is not so good is if we get proud about it, if we get puffed up and our head gets too big, and we start thinking that perhaps we are more important than other people in the church. I'm the most important person in the church because I've done this, this, and this, and it was so blessed. And you start looking down on others. That's a horrible and an ugly trait. Somebody who thinks they're more important than others or deserves more praise than others. That can be something that gets into the heart of each and every one of us. And we have to be careful for that. But not just individuals, a church collectively. We as a church, if this church is greatly used of the Lord and we're being very encouraged at this present time, well, perhaps we can, as a church, collectively start getting a bit proud and thinking our church is a wonderful church and the best church in the region. And well, this is something to be very proud of. But that is, again, a great tragedy. And well, we must avoid that. Whenever pride like that rises up in a church, what starts to happen? Well, what stops happening, rather, I should say, when pride comes into a church, what stops happening, we stop examining ourselves. We start thinking we're so great, we don't need to examine ourselves anymore. We don't really need to look very closely at the things we do and how the people are in the church, because we're such a great church. We stop examining ourselves, and before you know it, things come in unawares and do great damage. So we have to be careful in this church that we do not fall to that level of error, and we do not turn to that level of pride. We serve the Lord humbly. We must serve the Lord humbly. You don't have to turn to this passage, but the Apostle Paul in Acts 20 and verse 19, as he bid farewell to the Ephesian elders, he said that he served the Lord with all humility of mind. That's how we serve the Lord. Humility of mind. Well, what does that mean? Humility of mind. What does that look like? Well, of course, not allowing ourselves to get puffed up. The Apostle Paul never got puffed up over his achievements, over what he did. Why not? Well, because he knew that all his achievements, they were God's work. They weren't his own. He didn't do these things. It was God who enabled him, who blessed him. He can't boast because God was with him. God turned him from being the greatest enemy of the Christian church to the greatest servant. Paul wouldn't be in this position at all if God had not changed him. He can't possibly boast. That's the same with us, of course. All our achievements as a church and as individuals, that's God's work. We can't take the credit for it. God has worked in us, and we give him all of the glory. That's serving the Lord with humility of mind. It's God's work. God has enabled me. In fact, well, again, we won't turn to this passage, but remember what the Lord said. We are unprofitable servants. What are we doing? We're just doing our duty. We're not doing anything amazing or special. We are unprofitable servants. We're doing that which we ought to do. So why are we getting high opinions of ourselves, if indeed we do? We are unprofitable servants, serving the Lord with humility of mind. Serving the Lord with humility of mind means that you don't compete with others. I've known people in the past, they serve in a church, but they're not really serving the Lord. They're not really serving God. They're trying to compete with other people. They're just looking at what other people are doing. And they want to outdo them because they want to be the best person in the church. They want to be seen to be the hardest working person in the church. So they'll just compare themselves with others and they're competing. They're not really thinking of God, honoring the Lord, living for Him, serving Him. They're looking at other people. How can I better that person? And how can I better this person? It's like a competition. It's not a competition, dear friend. That's not serving with humility of mind. Humility thinks of the Lord, not constantly trying to keep up with the others, keep up with the Joneses, as it were. That's a worldly principle. We don't compete. The Apostle Paul was not competing with the other disciples. He was serving the Lord. Submission as well. Complete submission to the Lord. Sometimes you meet Christians and, they're willing to do some things for God, but there are some things they would never do for God. And they tell you that. You can ask me to do this. You can ask me to do this duty or put me on that rota, but don't ask me to do something else if I'm not happy with it. There's not really humility there. Somebody who is humble, well, they will say, as the Apostle Paul said, "What wilt thou have me do? What wilt thou have me do?" Not, "I'll just do what I want to do. I won't be forced into anything." Submission to the Lord's will. Humility of mind. God is our Lord. God wants us to grow. And so we must be willing to do that. And well, other things we could mention, humility of mind, to help others, even when they cannot help you. Again, some people, they help others, yes, but then they hold it against the people who they've helped. "I helped you, I did so much for you, you need to help me now, you owe me." That's not serving the Lord with humility. Remember how Christ helped us? We couldn't give Christ anything. We're helpless. We can't give anything to the Lord, but Christ helped us and saved us. When we give our help, it's not to expect something in return or get angry because they can't recompense us. Humility, somebody who is humble, we do those things without that desire, without that looking for reward. And well, we don't serve even to get good things from God. You see, the attitude of this Pharisee, when he prays, well, he comes across as though he deserves something. And I've already touched on this. "I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess." It's like the Pharisee is saying, "You owe me, God. I've done all of these things for you. Now bless me." He feels as though he deserves something. But it was actually the one who knew that he deserved nothing. The one who knew that he deserved nothing. He was the one who was blessed. The one who knew he was a worthless sinner. And we must learn from that. Humility of mind. We don't deserve anything from God. Now that may sound very offensive and very harsh, but possibly that's because we're so influenced by the world. And the world feels that it is always owed something and deserves things, but we don't deserve anything from God. We don't have a right to get angry at God as though we deserve something. Many people, they say that they're angry with God because, they have that attitude. "I did so much for the Lord. I deserved that job, that relationship. I deserve to be happy." That's what they say. God doesn't owe us anything at all. We don't deserve anything. And this is what the publican understood. The publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He knows he doesn't deserve anything. If there's anything he does deserve, it's condemnation for his sin. That's what he realizes. I deserve to be condemned, and yet he is the one who is blessed. Dear friends, that's the attitude we ought to have. The attitude that the Lord will bless. It's the broken and the contrite heart. Remember Psalm 51? A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. So instead of a give me what I deserve spirit, we must be thankful for what we have. Again, humility is thankful. Thankful for what you have, not discontented, not saying I deserve this and God hasn't given me this. Humility is thankful for what God has given you. And thankful even for the small things. Do you look back at this day? Are you thankful that you have been kept in health and in safety and in security? Are you thankful that you're even here this evening to praise God, to hear the word of God? Just the small things. Doesn't have to be a big thing. Humility appreciates the smallest things. Humility of mind. Because we deserve nothing at all. And when we have that attitude, well, then we will be blessed. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted. That man, well, his cup will overflow. And this is all of what it means to be humble in the sight of God, seeing our unworthiness and giving thanks for all that we do have. But let us turn back to Proverbs chapter 15. And I just want to point out some of the surrounding verses, or those verses just before verse 33 in Proverbs 15. The verse 33, is speaking about wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and humility is tied to that wisdom. It is associated with wisdom. Pride, the opposite of humility, is never wise. To be proud, and I've spoken about that recently, pride is a self-delusion. You're deluding yourself over something, and that's not wise. Wise people don't delude themselves. So pride is never wise, but humility is. Humility is wisdom. And look at what wisdom is tied to. Earlier in the chapter, well, just look at verse 32. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. This speaks of wisdom, but by extension it speaks also of humility. A humble person will be teachable, will receive instruction. They won't refuse instruction. A humble person will be teachable. Sometimes you meet people and they are clearly not teachable. They think they know everything, or they have their own idea of Christianity and what salvation is, and they're not going to be changed. Even if you teach them from the Bible and point things out to them in the Bible, they don't want to be changed. They're not teachable. They're quite proud in a way. They don't have a humble mind. A humble person will be teachable. Do we come here to be taught? Do we come here to learn how to grow and to be changed? God wants us to be changed, to be sanctified. But a proud man, a proud person, I want to stay the same. I'm all right as I am. That's pride. I don't need to be changed. I don't need to be improved. Humility will always seek to learn. How can I change myself? How can I be more godly? How can I be more pleasing in the sight of God? So a wise man, a humble man, will receive instruction and will not despise his own soul. And then he that heareth reproof in verse 32, he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. Again, somebody who is humble will receive reproof or correction. They will receive it. They will not be over defensive. They will not react badly. They will never, have this proud attitude of, I would never do anything like that. When you come to them with something that they've done, they will receive correction. They will think about what the complaint is. They will do so humbly. Of course, if you give correction, if you rebuke somebody, well, you must do so humbly, of course, not attacking anybody, but speaking the truth in love, not gloating over anybody's failures. But when we give rebukes, we are gentle, we are humble. But if somebody challenges you, well, you must be humble and you must think upon your ways, not simply refusing to listen or refusing to examine oneself. This is all humility, and that is the sign of a healthy Christian and a healthy church. And of course, one more thing that we must mention, humility. Well, if you are a humble person, you'll be able to forgive. And that, of course, is very important. A proud person finds it very hard to forgive. A proud person is so outraged that somebody would do something to them, and so they find it very hard to ever forgive. But a humble man, of course, a humble person will remember the words of Christ. The Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6, verse 15, but if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And really, the Lord is reminding us, reminding Christian people, remember how much God has forgiven you. Think of your own sins. Think of your own failings. Think of how much you've offended God willingly and you didn't care about it. And yet God has forgiven you. So why are you refusing to forgive somebody else? Are you greater than God? Are you more offended than God is at sin? This is utter foolishness. That's pride. A humble person will remember their sins, remember how they sinned against God. And God has forgiven me. God loves me. I can still pray to God. I can still have communion with God and fellowship with God. Why have I shut off fellowship with this person or that brother or that sister in the church? That's pride. That's not humility. And again, well, we need humility to keep the church healthy, to keep the church humble. And many other things I could mention, but as we close, let me just give you the example, of course, that we all have to follow. We think of this in earthly terms, human terms, but of course the great example of humility is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I won't go in great detail as to the humility of Christ, but I'll just mention some things for us to think upon, perhaps as we leave this evening. Christ, think of his humility. Christ who took our nature. Christ, the eternal Son of God, clothed in eternal glory, coming down to this world, taking on a weak, frail human body. What humility! Are we willing to stoop as low as Christ did in our own lives? Christ was subject to his parents. His parents, who were but flesh and blood, so much lower than he was. And yet he was subject to them. Are we like that? Are we willing to take instruction even from people who perhaps are not quite as intelligent as we are, or perhaps not quite as old as we are? Sometimes people can come with good advice, good counsel, and we reject it. Who is this person? Who is this person that I should listen to them? But it's good advice. Somebody who is humble will listen. Christ was subject to his parents. Well, we must follow that example. Remember how Christ came to serve, not to be ministered unto, but to minister. We serve, of course we do. Christ associated with sinners, vile sinners, the vilest of sinners, lepers. Do we associate with everyone in the church? No problem with speaking to everybody in the church. If we stick to our own groups, to our own class or ethnicity, well, that's a form of pride. Associate with all around us. Christ washed the disciples' feet. What great humiliation, humility for Christ. Are we prepared to do those lowly things? And of course, Christ, well, he went to the cross, humbled himself even to that painful death. What a glorious sacrifice. The humble mind will sacrifice. Sacrifice for the Lord. Not just remain in their comfort zone, just the things, as I've already mentioned, that they're comfortable with. Sacrifice. That's how Christ came, and that's what he did for us. And so we, as his followers, we must follow his example. If he humbled himself, so should we. So this is the exhortation. I've really just scratched the surface on this subject. So many other passages we could have looked to. But humility, ask the Lord for humility. Humility, and this is the final word, it has to be a work of God. You have to pray for humility. Again, I've known people, they do humble things or they perform humble duties, but inwardly they resent it. They resent doing humble things. They will do humble things in the church, but they don't like doing it. That's not a humble person. To force yourself and resent it, you have to pray for humility. God has to change you within. So therefore, we go to the Lord. Lord, make me humble, because it will make me a healthier Christian. It will make me a more blessed Christian. Before honor is humility. Before I am blessed and exalted, as it were, by the Lord, I must be humble. It's for my own good. It's for my own joy and for my own peace. It's a great sign of salvation that you are truly the Lord's. And it's a great way of expressing your love for the Lord Jesus Christ, who himself came and humbled himself even to the death of the cross. So may the Lord bless just these very brief lessons and applications. And may he help us to humble ourselves before him.